With their beloved prophet gone, the Muslim community in mourning had to find a way to move forward. But first, they had to agree on a successor to Muhammad, the prophet of Allah. Muhammad's death sent shockwaves throughout the empire he had left behind. Rebellions broke out. It was complete and utter chaos. The Muslims were in mourning. They didn't know who to turn to. Muhammad didn't leave behind a plan of succession. Or at least, that's what the Sunnis say. Shias, however, believed that Muhammad declared Ali his successor. Ali was Muhammad's cousin. He was the son of Abu Talib, the man who had raised Muhammad. He was also married to Muhammad's youngest daughter, Fatima. And now, after Muhammad, he was the head of the house of Hashim, Muhammad's clan. Tensions were starting to break out in the Muslim community, especially between the Ansar and the Muhajirun. They even considered establishing separate states with their own heads. Eventually, in a private meeting, Abu Bakr, Muhammad's old friend, was named Khalifat Rasulullah, which means successor to the Prophet of Allah. Ali, however, wasn't present in this meeting. He was busy with the arrangements of Muhammad's funeral. So, a successor to Muhammad was appointed without consulting the new head of Muhammad's house. This one decision was very controversial, and it is to this day as well, because, well, you know, Muslims are very well known to let things go. This was the start of a schism, the Shia-Sunni split. Shias believed that Ali should have been the first caliph, but most Sunnis, including myself, believed that Abu Bakr was the right choice. But it's not really as sectarian as most people think. These days, you'll find Sunnis as well who side with Ali in this argument. I don't side with Ali because I'm against dynastic rule, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. Abu Bakr became the first Khalifa or Caliph. Caliph or Khalifa means successor. Abu Bakr was successor to Muhammad, so Muhammad himself didn't have the title of the Caliph. He was a prophet. Abu Bakr, after ascension to the office of Caliph, gave his first sermon, which was as follows. I have been given the authority over you, and I'm not the best of you. If I do well, help me, and if I do wrong, set me right. Sincere regard for truth is loyalty, and disregard for the truth is treachery. The weak amongst you shall be strong with me until I have secured his rights, if God wills. And the strong amongst you shall be weak with me until I have wrested from him the rights of others, if God wills. Obey me so long as I obey God and his messenger. But if I disobey God and his messenger, you owe me no obedience. Arise from your prayer. God have mercy upon you. His reign lasted for around 27 months, a little over 2 years. First thing he did was consolidate his power over all of Arabia. He crushed all the rebellions and established the authority of the office he held. He also started the canonization of Islam by converting Quran into a book form, which is where Islam is different than, say, Christianity, which was canonized some 300 years later. There will be another video about this. Finally, he sent Khalid ibn al-Walid with an impressive army of 18,000 towards Mesopotamia. This was Islam's first engagement with the Sassanid Persian Empire. Khalid ibn al-Walid started conquest city by city. He and his unstoppable army were too much for the Persians. Abu Bakr passed away in 634 CE, 2 years after his friend Muhammad. He opened a floodgate that changed the course of history in the form of rapid conquest. Abu Bakr was succeeded by Umar ibn al-Khattab. By this point, Khalid ibn al-Walid's army was far into Persian territory. He was even threatening Ctesiphon, the capital of Persia. Umar told Khalid to move towards Damascus, while his replacement, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, would follow his efforts in Mesopotamia. Khalid was a brilliant commander. He never lost a battle in his life. His brilliance is easily comparable to men like Napoleon and Hannibal. The only time he tasted defeat was in Mudar during Muhammad's lifetime, but there too, he didn't get the command until Muslims were already defeated. He managed to save his army even then by retreating. Khalid was successful in the Levant. The Byzantines and the Persians tried to ally to stop the Muslims and force them back into Arabia, but Muslims were too much for even their alliance to handle. Within Umar's first year as Caliph, Damascus fell to Khalid's army, while the Muslim armies in Persia that Khalid had left behind was struggling. In the same year, in the Battle of the Bridge, Muslim armies suffered a terrible defeat. Soon, however, this battle became the only battle where Muslims lost to the Persians. Let's first talk about the Levant. Khalid's army there took Damascus in 634 CE, and then Emesa, or as we call it now, Homs, in 635 CE. He destroyed the Byzantine army there in 636 CE in the Battle of Yarmouk River. By 637 CE, he had pushed Byzantine borders to southern Anatolia. In April 637 CE, Jerusalem fell after a prolonged siege. Omar himself went there to receive the key to the city from the Greek Orthodox Patriarch Sophronius, and was invited to offer Muslim prayer at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Omar chose to pray some distance from the church so as not to endanger its status as a Christian temple. After the fall of Jerusalem, Omar permitted Jews to practice their religion freely and live in Jerusalem. Khalid tried to convince Omar to allow his army to move into Anatolia, but Omar refused. He set up northern Syria as buffer zone between his empire and the Byzantines. He allowed the army to raid southern Anatolia to ensure the safety of northern Syria. It's kind of funny, actually. Omar had the power to destroy the Byzantines, but didn't want to, and the Byzantines wanted to destroy Omar, but didn't have the power to. In 638 CE, Omar dismissed Khalid ibn al-Walid from the command of his army. It's not exactly known why he did that. Some sources say it was because people had started to put their faith in Khalid to win wars rather than Allah, and Umar didn't like that. Umar is reported to have said to Khalid, "You have done what no man before you could do, but it was surely not without Allah's support." Within less than 4 years of his dismissal, Khalid died in 642 CE and was buried in Emesa, where he lived since his dismissal from military service. His mission started with Mesopotamia, and shortly after his death, his mission was completed by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Let's return to Persia, where shortly after Khalid had left in 634 CE, Muslims had suffered a defeat at the Battle of the Bridge. However, under the command of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Muslims got strong again. Sa'd led Muslims to a decisive victory in Battle of Al-Qadisiyah in 636 CE. Shortly after that, Ctesiphon, Persian capital, was besieged and taken by Sa'd in 637 CE. Umar wanted the Zagros Mountains to serve as a natural barrier and wanted to move no further into Persian territory, basically the Persian mainland. However, the Persians kept raiding Mesopotamia and forced Umar to move forward. In 642 CE, the Persians managed to raise an army against Muslims, which was defeated in the Battle of Nahavand, soon after Khalid had passed away. Muslim victory over Persia was all but complete. The Persian emperor, Yazdegerd III, well, that's kind of a mouthful. Well, he escaped to Central Asia. Umar started the invasion of mainland Persia, which eventually ended with the entirety of Persia under Muslim rule, and Yazdegerd III fleeing to China. Along with Syria and Persia, Umar actually captured another significant area. He captured Egypt. He was initially against the conquest of Egypt because he wanted to consolidate his power in Syria first, but his Majlis al-Shura, or as you would call it, parliament, decided to invade Egypt. So his commander Amr ibn al-As led an army of just 4,000, according to most sources, into Egypt in 639 CE. Egypt was a part of the Byzantine Empire, but after their defeat in Syria and Palestine, Egypt was really not something they could protect. By 641 CE, Alexandria fell to the Muslims. In 644 CE, Umar was assassinated by a Persian slave in Medina. He was attacked during the morning prayer of Fajr in Masjid al-Nabvi, the mosque of the Prophet. Umar passed away 3 days after the attack. After having turned Muhammad's empire into a world power, stretching from Indus River to modern-day Libya, despite this, Umar was a very simple man. He lived in a small doorless hut to be close to his people. He established the Bayt al-Mal to help the poor and the needy. He is still famous for his tolerance, as he allowed Christians and Jews to live and practice their faith freely. Thanks to him, to this day in Islamic law, trade isn't taxed, wealth is. He supported free trade to benefit his empire economically. During his lifetime, he never appointed a close relative to any position, even if they were more than qualified. It is said that while Umar was fighting his injuries, his son, in retaliation for his father's assassination, killed 3 Persians in Medina. Umar ordered to have his son imprisoned and left his fate to the next caliph. See you next time.